Welcome to the FemNation podcast, where we wholeheartedly believe women entrepreneurs can rise together. Success comes in many flavors. There are no secret strategies. Women entrepreneurs are rewriting history by defining success on their own terms. Hi, I'm White of Gannon, the down-to-earth chick with a different name. Entrepreneur and founder of the Female Entrepreneur Movement, our business is dedicated to helping women start and grow their businesses, increasing financial independence. Each week, join me for inspiring stories and powerful interviews of women entrepreneurs sharing their lessons to success to help you take your business to the next level. Now, let's go for it. All right. Welcome back, everyone. Thank you for listening. Today, we have Trish Koenig with New Beat Foods. I'm excited to interview her and hear more about her journey and her story as to what she created and why she created it and how she created it. So, Trish, thank you for being with us today.
Thank you, White Dove.
I look forward to hearing more about you. So tell me, how did you get started in the entrepreneurial scene?
You know, I think I've always had the entrepreneurial spirit, but it wasn't until 2014 that I really decided to take the leap and create New Beat Foods. You know, back when I was younger, I always had, you know, side gigs going on, and it was always doing little things here and there for either extra income or just things that I was interested in. But New Beat Foods was actually born back in 2001 when I was actually hit by a car while riding my bicycle. I didn't know New Beat Foods was born at that time, but once all of the physical symptoms of the car accident kind of subsided and I was kind of healing from literally the impact of a car being hit by a bike, being hit by a car while riding my bicycle.
I knew what you were saying.
Apparently, trauma can trigger celiac disease, which is an autoimmune disease. And it was literally from that day of my bike/car accident where my body was not the same. Something had changed.
Wow.
And I could not live with it. Like, whatever it was, I didn't know what it was at the time. And so it took 3 years after the bike/car accident to actually get the diagnosis of celiac disease. And that's when a whole new different journey of healing began. And then New Beat Foods was born in 2014. So that's kind of the bit of the background about how it was started. I actually just got really tired of all of the gluten-free products that were on the market.
Sure.
Really quickly.
So what do you make? What do you make?
We make gluten-free quinoa crackers.
Awesome.
So I am focusing on the nutritional value of gluten-free just as much as the flavor. I got really tired of eating really bland, not healthy gluten-free foods. Most gluten-free foods have a ton of processed ingredients in them and really empty calories and high glycemic calories and ingredients. And I don't use anything like that in our product.
So tell me, how long did it take for you to come to the particular recipe that you have? Was that a process of evolution?
It was indeed. And in fact, I actually started with the idea of doing desserts, gluten-free desserts.
Uh-huh.
Because again, maybe someday I will branch out into some gluten-free desserts, but I really wanted to make the desserts that I was missing and am missing when I go to a restaurant. And I approached a couple of restaurants here in Longmont with my desserts, and they loved them. And they're like, okay, let's do it. And by the time I was actually ready to start selling the desserts, that one restaurant that was really interested actually closed their doors. Maybe that was a blessing in disguise. But, you know, in the meantime, as I was going down this dessert path, I was like, you know, this just doesn't feel right. It doesn't feel like I should be making dessert right now. I feel like I should be making something healthier, which is how I came up with the cracker recipes and then started selling them at the Boulder County Farmers Market, which is a great way to start in the food business.
Did you have tasting parties to have, you know, friends and family or, you know, other people give you some feedback on some of the recipes as you were creating them?
Absolutely. My husband, who is not gluten-free, absolutely loved them. And he thought it was just a great idea. And was just full behind me. And he was just like, just go for it. This sounds like, I've always been a lifelong baker, you know, on the side, never for money. But my passion has always been baking. And so now I had a really solid reason to bake nutritious and delicious, healthy, gluten-free products,
right?
Because it's my new life.
Sure.
So yes, we entertain a lot. And so a lot of my friends tried them before, and some of the crackers didn't make the grade, and we continued on with the ones that did. And then back to the farmer's market. So another great reason farmer's market really works for small growing businesses is you get immediate feedback on your product. You know, we had a couple of crackers at the Boulder County Farmer's Market as well. For instance, one of our first crackers had cheese in it. And so we came out with three crackers on the market in the beginning. And a lot of people were dairy-free. A lot of people who are gluten-free also cannot tolerate dairy. And so, you know, I hemmed and hawed about it for a while. And it wasn't a huge seller. It had its fan base for sure. But I thought it was the best interest of New Beat Foods to become major allergen free. Mm-hmm. And so we decided to stop making the cracker with cheese. And now we are major allergen free in addition to gluten free and wheat free. And I think that is just a really great selling point for our business.
Well, I'll tell you what, for those that are local to where you are and able to get that, that's a huge benefit, because I know even though I don't have a need to be gluten-free, I do watch, you know, the intake of gluten anyways, and the recipes and the stuff that you find easily on the shelves still has ingredients I don't want to consume.
I know. Yeah. They're names that you don't even know what they are. It's just
right.
Yeah.
So yeah. Let's dive a little deeper into the business and the entrepreneurial journey though. Although that is fantastic what you create, I think it's very fascinating. What was one decision? You mentioned a biking accident, but what was one decision that pivoted your business?
Into a business, pivoted it to make it into a business.
Yes.
Yeah. So I was just, I was a landscape architect at the time. And I just didn't see myself being a landscape architect for another 15 or 20 years. Mm-hmm. And kind of going back to, I've always had this entrepreneurial bug and desire. Mm-hmm. And so the timing of the accident and having to be gluten-free and really wanting to make the best of the situation. So, you know, I say that the accident was kind of the best and worst thing that has ever happened in my life. In that, you know, it made me reevaluate where I was in my life and the direction that I wanted to take it. And so I just decided then that, you know, now is the time and there's never been a better time. And, you know, I'm tired of waiting. I felt like I was waiting for a while to like the right thing to come along and, you know, for something to maybe just,
A light bulb moment.
Yeah. A light bulb. Yeah. And it was a light bulb moment. And, but the light bulb had been on for a while. I just was kind of ignoring it.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. That's how light bulbs kind of are already there. We just didn't realize, or we just weren't paying attention to it until all of a sudden it's like, oh, it is there. This is
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Here's your permission.
Oh, yeah. But my husband was also very, very supportive of me. And,
good. That's so good.
I don't think I could have done it without him. So yeah.
How do you define success in your business?
That's a great question. It's not necessarily, like, I recently have been trying to get my mind around profit and what that actually means to me. I feel like I've had a bit of a negative perspective about profit. But literally just this year, and we're going into year six of our business, it really hit me that in order to continue to be a sustainable business, we have to be profitable. And profitability is not a negative word.
Right.
So, but success for me is doing something I'm passionate about, doing something good with that passion. I literally get emails every single day people thanking me for making such an amazing product. And it's the only cracker that they can eat.
Wow.
And so for me, that is just so fulfilling. So doing something that I'm passionate about, filling a need for someone else. And again, I just get that feedback like literally almost every single day. Being happy and healthy, continuous learning and growth are also very, very important to me. Mm-hmm. And then ultimately getting paid for what I do. I'm still not quite there yet.
But yes.
So yeah, those are kind of my defining characteristics of success.
Fantastic. Let me ask you about imposter syndrome. Was there ever any time where you just felt like you other people do it better than you and that maybe you weren't called for this?
Yeah. Oh, very much so. You know, I do not have a culinary background. Yeah. I didn't go to school for it. I do have a business degree. So there's the business side, but, in the beginning I met with, this woman who kind of helped me get off the ground, and she was like, oh, no one's going to buy your product because you don't have the, you know, the cooking and the baking background. And I was like, well, that doesn't really make sense. I didn't actually see her much longer after that.
I was gonna say, that's not very helpful.
Yeah, no, it wasn't very helpful at all. So, you know, I think I still maybe have some imposter issues going on. You know, fake it till you make it. But I am confident in our product. I am confident in my ability to bring it to the world. And every day I just have to keep telling myself that I know what I'm doing. I know how to make a good product, and I know that there's a huge need out there for this type of product. Mm-hmm. And so those are the things that just keep me going.
Those are good. Those will keep you going.
Thanks. Yeah.
How do you balance? And I don't love to use the word balance because I believe in entrepreneurship, there's a little bit, and even actually in business in general, in the world in general, I don't believe it's a balance between left and right or family versus business or family versus entrepreneurship. I don't love that word, but for the sake of not having another one, how do you balance your business and your home life, your personal life?
Well, luckily it's just my husband and I, so I don't have children, so that helps. But I have prioritized taking care of myself. And that really started happening about 2 years ago. The first 3 years were just honestly super brutal. I was exhausted. I was working, I was just baking so much, and being on your feet and baking, it's a very, very physical job. Mm-hmm. And so that was very exhausting. And about 2 years ago, I realized that I could not continue on this path. And so I needed to start taking care of myself. And I'm a voracious reader, and I read a ton of business books, and I read a ton of, you know, self-help books on just like, okay, how do I take care of myself in this process so that, again, I can be an ongoing business, you know, because again, like cash flow is one thing, but if my health isn't there, then that's a whole nother issue. And so I found a gym that I go to, and I've just created routines. So that's how I keep myself balanced, because I get up early in the morning. I'm up at 5:30 every single morning. Very first thing I do is I go to the gym and I work out. Mm-hmm. And then I come home and I meditate, I make my coffee, I write down what I'm about to do for the day. So I have a really good routine that balances, there's that word, and supports me and allows me to continue to do what I am doing. I do also have one part-time baker that is, she's amazing. And, you know, I owe a lot of my success right now to her because she's awesome. So much of the pressure off me. So I'm not doing it all myself. So
did you realize in those first 3 years that you were actually just overworking yourself, or was it kind of just this gradual realization that at one point that you just can't keep going like that?
Yeah. I think I knew, but I was just in denial because there was no, there was no option. You know, I couldn't afford to pay anyone else. Sure. And you know, we started in a variety of different commissary kitchens, mm-hmm. and, you know, none of them were right at all. And so it was just like making my process fit into all of these little boxes, i.e. other kitchens, mm-hmm. and, you know, working around other times and other people's schedules, and the fact that it wasn't a gluten-free kitchen. And so, you know, you had to make sure that everything was clean and sterilized before you could even start working. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that was like an hour before you could even start your baking process. You know, you had to clean the kitchen because the person there before you didn't do a good enough job.
Well, yeah, maybe you wouldn't even know if they did or didn't. You just need to make sure for your product right. that it was sufficient, exactly. right?
Right. Yeah. Yep.
What is one accomplishment in your business that you are super proud of, aside from making just an bass cracker, you know, products for your clients, yeah. but an accomplishment more on, I would say, on your growth?
Yeah. I am growing every single day. And I was actually just telling my husband the other day, I feel like my life has expanded like 100% since I've been in this business, both between the people that I've met, you yourself included, and just my networking circle, and everything that I have learned about running a business. You know, whether New Beet Foods succeeds or not, I know that I'll land on my feet and I'll be a better person for it. So. Mm-hmm. I just feel like, it's been a huge and fabulous journey so far, and I'm really enjoying it, and it's really fun. So
do you think you could ever walk away from it and go back to what you were doing? I mean, would it?
never, no.
And that's a common, I mean, that's a resounding answer that like you gave, it's almost that being an entrepreneur is the calling itself, you know, and finding what you're to be doing as an entrepreneur is really what's part of the journey is. So when you find that, you just, yeah. it's like, I can't imagine ever doing anything else.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. I'm same place with you.
Where do you see yourself in a year?
well, that's a great question. I think I will still be here at New Beet Foods with several more employees. And in a year's time, it would be great if we could be a national brand. Like that would be my goal is to be a national brand. Whether or not we can do that in the next year, that would be another huge accomplishment.
Sure.
So, you know, we've made it past the 5-year mark, which so many small businesses don't.
That's right.
And so I am really proud that I'm in year 6 and still going strong, stronger than we've been since the beginning. So yeah, a national brand is where I would like to be, and maybe a few more products.
And what about you as an entrepreneur?
Oh man. You know, I would love to start helping other entrepreneurs. So be more of a mentor. I've just had so many amazing mentors. Mm-hmm. In the past 5+ years that I've been doing this. And I would love to be able to return that favor to people. Mm-hmm.
Giving back. It's yeah. very important because you know the journey is rough anyways, and those mentors are so valuable.
Yep, absolutely.
Tell me what the Pollinator Partnership is.
Yeah, so that is relatively new for us. We just teamed up with them this year and we're very excited about it. The background about the Pollinator Partnership, it is a nonprofit that supports all different kinds of pollinators, and they have different programs, but the program that we are actually sponsoring is called the Bee Friendly Farming Program, mm-hmm. where a certain percentage of the farmers have to set aside a certain percentage of their land for pollinators, specifically bees. For the farmers. And so, you know, they can't use chemicals. They have to set aside a certain amount of space for like bee habitat and foraging for the bees.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, water and all of that. And, you know, organic farming is like just an obvious natural choice. But the tie-in for this, for the pollinator partnership for me, is that I was a landscape architect. Mm-hmm. So like designing landscapes and obviously playgrounds and dealing with plants. I'm an avid gardener. We have an amazing garden in our yard, and it is a certified wildlife habitat as well by the National Wildlife Federation. And then I always wanted a business that not only, you know, made an amazing product, but give back. And mm-hmm. so this just seemed like a natural pairing for me because we use honey in all of our different, in our crackers. So besides, you know, the fact that I'm an avid gardener, we use honey, giving back to the pollinators, especially right now when we have all these colony collapse and the bees are in peril and pollinators are mm-hmm. in peril. You know, I want to do everything that I possibly can personally and professionally to just support my beliefs.
Right. So, that it is an issue to be addressed.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
That's fantastic. What about your local area? How involved are you in your local area, and how involved was your local area in you establishing your business? How was that network? You touched on that just a little bit.
Yeah. So I live in Longmont, and my mm-hmm. business is in Longmont, and I have never felt a greater sense of community than I have in Longmont. It is a truly fabulous place to live and an amazing place to have a small business. Mm-hmm. There are a number of resources through the city of Longmont, the Longmont Economic Development Council being one of them. And, you know, they are just very supportive and helping small businesses of every size. Mm-hmm. And our mutual friend, Morgan, has been just an amazing resource through the Longmont Economic Development Council. So, you know, community focused on Longmont is one thing, but then there's an amazing community of food entrepreneurs in the Boulder area as well. Mm-hmm. So there's Naturally Boulder, which is it's a community of like-minded foodies, and there are hundreds, if not thousands, of people that belong to that organization, and they have monthly meetings, they have weekly meetings, they have a lot of networking events, and a lot of seminars on how to grow your business, and they've just been instrumental in just a huge resource mm-hmm. in getting information, and as well as the Chamber of Commerce and mm-hmm. you know, other affiliations like that.
So leaning into your community or surrounding area was pivotal for you.
Oh, absolutely. And that kind of goes back to my growth as well. I'm not necessarily super outgoing, but one-on-one, I do really well. And so I've just been able to reach out and reach out to my mentors now. Mm-hmm. And so, again, mostly people in the food industry that I have been able to connect with and just lean on for all kinds of advice, as well as, you know, financial advice and, you know, this is really stressful. How do I get through this? And there have just been amazing groups of people that are out there to help small entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. And there's also the Denver SCORE down in Denver. I don't know if you are familiar with them. Mm-hmm. So the SCORE program is retired people in want to give back. And so you can contact them and let them know what industry you're in. And I've had a couple of mentors from the SCORE down in Denver who've been in the food industry and have just given me, have been there for me.
That's huge. That is such a huge resource for sure. I know that the Front Range area is deep with entrepreneurship and entrepreneurial resources, and we're very, very, very fortunate to have those here without a doubt. Some people don't have the same level of resources, but there are always resources no matter where you're at. You can find them. And with our, obviously, internet world, our reach is a little further now too. So it's always good for them to reach out, but you gotta reach out.
Yeah, you can't. I'm here alone so much mm-hmm. that it's really great for me to get out, because otherwise I would just go crazy being in here all the time.
So, you got to get out of your own head.
I do have to get out of my own head.
I have one final question for you. If you had a particular store you would want to see your products in, what is that by name? What would be like, oh my gosh, that would be like a highlight moment for you?
Ooh. Huh. Interesting. Great question. Well, I'm in Whole Foods now, but I would love to be nationwide in Whole Foods. I mean, that would be amazing. I'm in a lot of specialty meat and cheese kind of shops, like really more specialty kind of shops. And so I don't think at least the mass market is ready for us, for me right now. Mm-hmm. I don't see us in Kroger or Safeway anytime soon, although, that would be where the majority of the growth is. Again, that is not the most important thing for me. The most important thing for me is being in the right place at the right time with the right people. I was thrilled to get into Whole Foods, and I would love to just expand nationally with them. I did also just get into Erewhon in California.
Nice work. Excited
about. I'm heading out there on Thursday for my first road tour with them. I'm doing 7 demos in 2 days. So,
yeah,
be interesting.
So. It'll be a fast-paced trip out there.
Yeah.
Kick it off, and then you'll have to do some R&R afterwards.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. So, I kind of feel like we're where we need to be right now, growth-wise. And, whenever I can get out of the office and do some networking and, just getting out and meeting people, I feel like I'm meeting the right people at the right time. And it's just been the trajectory that I'm on. So
that's a fantastic perspective too.
Yeah,
really thanks. Appreciate that. So as we wrap it up, where can people find you?
They can go to newbeatfoods.com, and that's all one word. So newbeatfoods.com. That's our website. You can find our crackers online on Amazon. We have an Instagram page, same, newbeatfoods, Instagram/newbeatfoods.com. And Trish Koenig is also on LinkedIn.
Awesome. So they can come find you wherever and maybe order some crackers and check them out for themselves.
They can hoard them for themselves or share them with their friends. I have people do both. So
that's awesome. Yeah. Trish, I want to thank you for coming on the podcast today and sharing your journey with us for a little while. And I really, really, really value what your contribution is with, the pollinator partnership, with what you've created for people that have issues being able to consume something. And we all like something a little crunchy anyway, so that's a great outlet for them. I know that I default to that as well. But I look forward to watching you grow and watching how, where this journey takes you.
Well, thank you very much. And I appreciate being on and you taking the time to talk with me.
Excellent. All right. Well, we're going to wrap it up there. Okay. If you guys have any questions, please look at the show notes and check out the links where you can find Trish and find her awesome products. And in the meantime, keep moving forward. I'll talk to you guys soon.
Thanks for listening to the FemNation podcast. Be sure to check out our show notes for more details from the episode. If you love the show, share it with a friend or drop me a note. I'd love to hear from you over at whitedovegannon.com or find me on social media. Until next time, keep moving forward.